paper two, was it?
The agenda paper two is related to recognition of deferred taxes arising due to exchange rate changes on the tax base of non-monetary assets and liabilities. This issue was first discussed in July last year. The committee had tentatively decided not to add this issue to the agenda. We received three responses to the tentative agenda decision. The comment letters are provided in Appendix C. Two respondents disagreed with the tentative decision. They are of the view that IAS 12 should also include an exemption from recognizing such deferred taxes. We also received a report from the group of Latin American accounting standard setters that included responses from three countries from that region. The report is provided in Appendix B. A fourth response was received from another standard setter from that region after we posted our paper. They are of the view that this issue is outside the scope of the Interpretations Committee, and they think that this issue needs to be addressed through a change in IAS 12, and that should be considered based on IASB's agenda consultation. In response to the comment letters in Appendix C,
the committee has not had access to that late because it was such a late item that we just didn't have time to give it to them.
That's
okay. Excuse me.
So in response to the comment letters in Appendix C, we carried out further work as described in paragraphs 38 to 48, and that included looking into past attempts on convergence between US GAAP and IFRS, and most importantly, developing an example to demonstrate the conceptual reasons understanding for recognizing such deferred taxes in the financial statements. The example is provided in Appendix D. We have summarized the results of our additional work in paragraph 50. Among other reasons cited therein, we think that the recognition of such deferred taxes in the financial statements reflects a real economic change. And based on these, we recommend that the committee finalize the tentative agenda decision without any modifications. The final agenda decision is provided in Appendix A. The question for the committee is on page 50, and that is whether you agree with the staff recommendation and the wordings in the final agenda decision.
Just as an additional comment, I think we have to be very complimentary to the GLASS and the South American standard setters. We gave them a very tight timeline in which to marshal their thoughts and give us a response. And I think it speaks very highly of them. Despite the fact that they disagree with the agenda decision, at least some of them, that they were able to do so quickly. That's a compliment that they well deserve. Tony?
I agree with the staff analysis and with the agenda decision. Firstly, IAS 12 seems to me to be perfectly clear. There isn't any ambiguity. I understand that there is no diversity in practice, but beyond that, I think it's the right answer. I agree with Prahalad that there's a real economic effect here. Exchange rate changes mean that the entity is going to pay more or less tax, and I don't see why the impact of that should be excluded from the income statement just because exchange rates happen to go up and down. So I support the conclusion and I support the agenda decision.
Reinhardt?
I likewise support the staff analysis and the agenda decision. I do have sympathy, though, for the comments raised in terms of re-looking at potentially as part of the research project on income taxes this issue as to whether presentation and income statement or OCI or something else or some other treatment, I should say, might achieve some of the objectives. But as I say, given the current state of IAS 12, I fully concur that that's the technical analysis and with the wording of the agenda decision.
Okay, Carl?
Second. Even though the standard being very, very clear and the examples provided by the staff are particularly helpful to bring clarity to this analysis, given the concerns expressed by several constituents, and I'm aware of more jurisdictions concerned with this, and which share the same view, I'm concerned in issue a final agenda decision in this meeting. My suggestion is in the direction of further analysis regarding the US GAAP reasons to give an exception in this area in conjunction with the ISB and the American board and the American the FASB staffs. I think to discuss this issue in the next emerging economy group meeting would be also helpful and maybe bring more bring additional inputs to this analysis. Lastly, I would suggest to explore the exemptions, other exemptions in IS-12 and its reason, and double check if the same reasons would apply in this issue. Given the odd situation in the effective tax rate, the example in scenario 2 brings to light.
Okay. Bonnie?
While I do agree that IS-12 leads you to this conclusion, I don't agree with the fact, I don't agree with that conclusion. In other words, I don't agree that that's the right accounting. I would prefer to explore an exception to IS-12, similar to U.S. GAAP, as I frankly think that some of the comment letters raise some of the issues with whether or not the information that's provided is actually relevant and understandable in the effects of the exchange rates on the deferred tax assets and liabilities, because frankly it creates a lot of movement, non-cash movement, that is a bit difficult to explain other than saying it's as our leadership has called it, accounting shenanigans, and I don't know that that's really how we want to describe movements and deferred tax assets and liabilities related to FX rates. So I don't agree that we should continue with the conclusion.
Mikhail?
I agree with the conclusion from staff, and I think that the best rate to apply will be the close rate, and I also think that there will be an effect, as Tony pointed out. I'm not in favor for exploring any exceptions from the standard.
Yong-Soo.
All right. I actually agree with the Tony that the standard is clear on this issue. I have no objection to that. And I the effect of the deferred tax is real, has a real economic effect. I have no objection to that, but I want to say a little bit more thing in addition to that. The first thing I want to say is that this issue is very widespread. We just got the opinions from the Latin American countries that this issue exists in Korea too. In Korea, most of the shipping companies are using Korean currency as a tax-based currency. They use USD as a functional currency. So that any country, this issue exists. And also for any country that uses local currency, like the Brazilian real or the Mexican peso or Korean won, there, you know, the FX rate fluctuates a lot. Not always, but in sometimes, like the financial crisis in 2008 or 1998, in Korea, for example, fluctuation in FX rate fluctuates more than 100% for 1 year. Without that, you know, that much cost or region at all. So I think that this is a measurement issue. As a measurement issue, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, the translation does not really tell us about the future cash flow sometimes. Is that the reason why we calculate the deferred tax is to predict the future cash flow? But if there's a big change in currency, such as in uncertain environment, you know, the deferred tax may calculate by the current FX rate cannot tell us the useful information about the future cash flow. So in conclusion, you know, I agree with Bonnie. You know, with the standard, we cannot do anything about it. It's economic substance. Whether the numbers tells us about the useful information about this issue one more time.
Okay. Fei Long?
I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion, Rich. I think IAS 541 is clear and technically correct. I agree that no need to include it in the agenda.
Thank you. Bruce?
Thanks, Wayne. Yeah, this has become a pretty real issue for somebody from a country where the currency has lost 35% of its value in the last 4 weeks. So it's been a pretty turbulent time for us. But having had a look at that, I agree with the analysis. I think under the current wording, IAS 12 is very clear. It tells us what to do. I've got no objection to saying to the board that they can look at the US gap of exemption if they really want to, but I would support the agenda decision as it is. I think it's clear what IAS 12 is telling us what to do.
Okay.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very widespread issue. It's not just in emerging economies, and it's probably particularly exacerbated in 2015 because of the strength of the US dollar against many local currencies. But I think IAS 12 is absolutely crystal clear. It couldn't be, paragraph 41 couldn't be clearer, and I think there is a real economic impact of having your tax deductions in a different currency than your functional currency. When that currency goes down against your functional currency, your tax position is a lot worse in the future. And it, to me, it's a real economic effect, and it belongs in the P&L in the current period.
Sandy?
Well, you know, to me, as I look at this, the analytical content in the first example in Appendix D, and specifically the comparison of Table 4 in Paragraph 31 and Table 6 in Paragraph 39, is really all you need to see to understand why this matters. The current tax rate stays the same, but the deferred tax rate in Year 3 tells you that there is more cash that has to go out of the organization. So I don't perceive it as accounting shenanigans. I perceive the deferred tax as communicating to you my current expectation of my future cash flows. I don't understand the paragraph where we talked about user outreach and one investor talked about, I'm not clear if that investor is a sell-side analyst, but that wouldn't be the case. I'm confused by who we talked to. But it makes a comment that they use adjusted earnings. But if they're adjusting earnings to take out of this, then their discounted cash flow model would be wrong because there is cash that's going to go out of the organization. And the base case in the first example is simply a simple illustration. The more complicated illustration, which is the number two, is why it's hard for people to see. But that deferred tax clearly communicates to you my current expectation. And while the exchange rate may fluctuate in future periods, that's relevant information to me because it's telling me whether cash is going to go out or not go out. You know, I looked at the four arguments that were put forth here, and the volatility argument's one that's not really compelling to me because simply because it's volatile doesn't mean that you shouldn't include it or that it belongs in OCI, because it may get missed that, in fact, this does communicate value-relevant information to the organization. Issues one and two, I think that they're more about we don't like the answer than whether the standard is actually clear on the point. And issue number three, looking to U.S. GAAP or undistributed earnings, is a really contentious topic with the investor community today. In that saying I shouldn't book it because I don't know when I'm going to distribute it, we're finally going to get some, hopefully in the U.S., some disclosures about these undistributed earnings, even though they're not going to be booked, because of the political pressure, not because they haven't been value relevant in the past. So, you know, long story short, I agree with the decision. I think it's really useful information, and you can't ignore volatility. It's what's going on in the real world.
Okay. Charlotte? Sorry, I have to reignite this thing every time.
I agree with the agenda decision. I think IS 12 is clear in this, and I also agree with Sandy that I think it is reflecting sort of true volatility. It's not sort of reflecting, you know, accounting shenanigans.
We're on record. We're all opposed to accounting shenanigans. Martin? Thank you.
Thank you.
Bob?
I've got sympathy for those that find themselves in this situation, the complexity. I'm not sure I agree with prior comments about this is truly reflects cash out the door. I'm not sure it always does, but nevertheless, looking at IS 12, I cannot disagree with the staff's analysis. I think IS 12 is very clear, and thus I support the agenda decision.
Andrew?
I support the agenda decision.
Okay. Any comments from our observers?
No, thanks.
Okay. I see three people who would like either to craft an exception along the U.S. GAAP lines or to follow this up otherwise. But I think the clear majority is in favor, so that's what we'll do.
Thank you.